Hey everyone, welcome. We watch stuff number or episode 14, I believe. This is Jeremy and then Shahid, and I don't know when the last time we did a wrestling pay-per-view recap.
This will be the first time.
No, we've done another thing. Was it SummerSlam?
We have talked wrestling. I don't think we've talked a pay-per-view. I think we might have done it on a different type of stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, so for those who watch wrestling, that's what we did last night. And what used to be one of the WWE's big four pay-per-views has kind of gotten they say Survivor Series has been around 22 years, whatever it is now. And I guess the longevity of the name makes it something, but this was really just another pay-per-view for the most part. I mean, you know, outside of the end, which we can get into a little bit later.
But they try to make it – it's funny, like for years, they talked about how Vince wanted to get rid of Survivor Series, like it was a passe concept and, you know, this time is coming on. So to think about how they felt about Survivor Series for basically about the past 10 years, for them to try to make this one such a big deal, like the most important Survivor Series match in WWE history, and just hyping it to death before the show and throughout the show is hilarious. And even before the last match, it's kind of like, yeah, you can hype it all you want, but I don't see it. But then the main event happened.
Yes. Because, and as I when I messaged you earlier, I was like, you know, the show, it wasn't a horrible show, but I think that the end is what helped people get past how it was just kind of, it played like Raw for the most part until the end.
Yeah, Kevin said that, because he was saying, like, it's the pay-per-view started with a 17-minute talking promo. It's like, is this Raw or pay-per-view? And at first, I was kind of laughing at that. I was like, are we really going to complain about Triple H talking when we only have about four or five matches and two of them involve women?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. And one of the women's matches went 30 seconds.
Yeah. And it seemed like 30 minutes, and it wasn't the matches you would think.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm confused by the I wanted to say I'm confused by the booking or whatever they want to call it. I'm totally lost on what happened here. That unless, you know, as the wrestling plays out, that it'll be explained tonight that maybe Brie was using a trick that she learned from watching Daniel Bryan or something. I don't know. But the match you expected to go longer didn't go. The other women's 4-on-4 match, or 5-on-5, whatever it was, that lasted 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah. No exaggeration. And it lasted that long, and one team got a clean sweep. So just think about that.
I don't know. The one part I did enjoy about this match was Tyson Kidd. And if they would have mentioned during the show that he was Instagramming or live tweeting all of his picks from ringside, that could have been a nice little enhancement feature for the match.
Doing that?
Yeah, he was taking selfies the entire match. But all of his selfies had the chicks' asses in the picture. So he's acting all smug in front of the camera. It almost seemed to me like he was doing a Tyler Breeze sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so during the match, so instead of paying attention to Natalya's match and all that stuff, he was just taking pictures of himself the whole time.
Yeah, that would have been something to kind of talk about. That whole match was just weird because the face team was just random. Like,
that's kind of WWE's women's division anyways.
But even, like, it's funny because the summertime, I think I was either talking to you or Kevin about it, how they had like three or four different female storylines going on at the same time. And now it's basically was kind of one. And like, this match wasn't that one. You know, it was kind of, at least I knew everyone on Paige's team was supposed to be heels. But on the Taya team, I'm like, I know Naomi's a face. I'm like, since when was Alicia Fox a face?
Wasn't wasn't she Paige's friend? And then I guess they split up, so it automatically makes you a face.
Yeah, and then Natalya, like Kevin said, she's the worst face alive. Like she, I definitely agree with him based on Total Divas. She's just a piece of garbage.
Okay, so and here's my thing. I stopped watching the show, so maybe she's gotten way worse. I don't know. Does anyone actually consider that Mei just be a character?
I'm hoping that's a character for her sake. I keep telling myself that because otherwise it makes no sense. I'm assuming everybody is playing like either a character or an exaggerated version of themselves, with probably the exception like John Cena and Daniel Bryan. Like everybody else seems, well, some of them seem more like real than the other ones. But it's just, she doesn't seem like that good of an actor or actress.
Since
We just always got that look, that kind of like, does she know how tone deaf she comes off as?
see, and that's what I guess it's one of my things where I'm like, no one can be like that. Like, I refuse to believe someone's that annoying. Like, obliviously, they have no idea they're that annoying. I refuse to believe that sometimes.
Well, she has a heart.
True. Well, no, actually, she's a Neidhart. She's not even a
Okay.
heart. Everyone
Yeah.
says that. It's like, well,
I always group them together like they grew up in the same damn house. If not related by blood, related by doing suplexes in a damn dungeon. But that's neither here nor there. Like that whole match was this. I was, like the first, they didn't have elimination for like what, 6, 7 minutes?
yeah, that was the other frustrating thing. As soon as Emma's music hit for this match, it was really a legit, like, oh yeah, her. And then the heel women came down. I was like, oh yeah, Cameron's a heel. And then it goes on and on. And as soon as you saw Emma, you expected her to be gone first. And it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. It's like, oh my God, this isn't gonna end. Hey, The Walking Dead's on. Click. I mean, it was the easiest thing to just turn the volume down on my laptop and pay straight attention to The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
At least I believe that's what was going on during that.
you made a smart choice. I did, and I was just watching to see like when it was down the page and the against form, like they're gonna have her do a clean sweep. Is she gonna walk out? Like she started walking out, and then she got some moves in, and then she just got beat up. And we just pinned her clean, like two moves, and so I'm like, this was a weird. Like I know you gotta drag time out, and I get the storyline even behind the other match. You could have found something else. I'm like, that's dodgy. I know we joke about. People joke about Survivor Series all the time. One of the problems with like, you have these people that normally have at least 7, 8 minute matches, and then they get pinned in 2 minutes after like a suplex or a clothesline, like back in the day. And it's like, how? You gotta really suspend disbelief. And with the females, it's even worse. It's like, they get hit with a drop kick and it's like they have a seizure. They can't kick out of a pin. This one they treated it like a match, like a real match, which is nice, except for I don't wanna see 8 women. And like 5 of them aren't that good wrestlers, go 15. It felt like it was 30 minutes. I know it wasn't that long. It just dragged on and on and on. It's
Yeah.
like, ugh.
Well, see, I was trying to figure out. They had this, and I was like, all right, because they didn't advertise that match that I remember. Really, this was a one-trick pony show, and it was the main event.
Yeah,
And
they
they kind of
advertised.
threw the tag match in there.
And like the Ambrose Bray Wyatt match, the one they really talk
Yes.
about.
Yes. Which, yeah, we'll get to the second, but I kind of forgot about that one already. But, yeah, it, I was confused why they didn't have, like, Adam Rose and the Bunny versus Slater and the Gator. Did you notice that?
Oh yeah, that's the team. Yeah, that's
No,
the team.
it wasn't Slater Gator.
Yeah, I saw it. That's right. It wasn't Slater Gator. It said Slater and the Gator.
Yeah, it's like,
But they were announced as Slater Gator.
all right, then somebody on the graphics messed up bad. And
They said
but I've been noticing that the production value, camera work especially, has been garbage for a long time now. So, like, I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Whenever somebody is stomping on somebody on the ground,
the camera, you mean the shield
it
cam?
zooms in, zooms out, zooms in, zooms out.
Oh,
Whenever they're going.
yeah. I call it the shield cam because that's when I first started noticing it.
Oof.
Yeah, when they used to come in and jump people, and it's like, all of a sudden Kevin Dunn thinks he's Paul Greengrass. Like, this is not the Bourne identity.
Yeah, that's not even shake. That's not even like shaky cam. That's literally zooming in and out on the action. They actually tried doing that. I cannot remember the spot, but I remember perking up like they just blew that one. It looked like somebody's going for a stomp, and the cameraman started doing the zoom in, zoom out, but the guys were just standing there. And that cracked me up to no end. It's like, that's what you get for trying to overemphasize something that just didn't need it. But what I was getting at with the Slater Gator and the bunny in that, I was surprised that just wasn't one of the four-way matches. You cut the women's time in half and put Fandango in on with Adam Rose, put Cesaro and then Jack Swagger on there. I mean, Cesaro's pretty much Adam Rose now anyways.
Yeah. It's such a sad story with that.
Did anyone else understand, or not criticize, but did anyone else try and figure out why Jack Swagger wasn't healthy enough to wrestle on Cena's team?
I'm glad you brought that up, because they were making a big deal saying, you know, he's not in the main event because he got beat up. I'm like, okay, but he's wrestling now. So you think he's good enough to feel like he can beat Cesaro, but he's not good enough to, you know, wrestle in the main event. That makes no sense. And they didn't talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, and they did mention he was on Cena's team, yeah. But then he got injured, so now he's not on the team.
I'm like, I'm surprised JBL didn't say anything smart about that.
Well, but my thing is, even if they try to get around it, it's like they all just got beat up Friday night. I guess they could make a case saying they didn't want Swagger on there because Rusev had already beaten him. Rusev had already beaten Big Show. If they wanted to play into that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I thought that was very strange.
Yeah, it was dodgy. Like, that whole story they tried to tell was just... I think they even looked at it like, we got one match. We just let's just get to this match.
Yeah.
And the rest is kind of like, we'll fill time.
Yeah, and I think they're missing the boat with Swagger now. This All-American crap... And that's what it is. It's translating into a face turn, or as a face now. But it would work better with his Aryan ass look. His Aryan ass looks. If he just was like a killer, the guy's 6'5". He's built like basically a gorilla or an orangutan.
Yeah, those long ass, strong ass arms. Yeah. Like he's a lot bigger than it's kind of because his body type. He's not like hefty. But he's a huge man that can move. And, like, he's a lot bigger than, you know, he kind of gets portrayed. Like, they always talk about how big he is. Like, he's deceptively big. And it's funny saying that in WWE. But he's deceptively big. Like, he's a big man, a very big man. And they always talk about how, you know, he's this dangerous guy, this college monster. But they don't go all the way with it. I don't know if it's because of his look. Like, he just got, like, somebody said, like, his face is about, he's just too goofy, or they portrayed him that way. Kind of like on the fence with him.
See, I don't know. I kind of disagree with the goofy look. If he keeps his mouth shut and lets somebody do the talking, it works for Lesnar. And I'm not putting the two together because one's a totally different person and talent level and, you know, positioning. But you could still kind of turn it into that. But Zeb Coulter looks like a goofy ass, so that's not going to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean,
you see how they push Rusev. He comes out, they push him like a monster. He acts like a monster. And it's believable. There's no reason why they couldn't do the same thing with Jack Swagger. Like, if he came out with Paul Heyman, that Paul Heyman do all the talking, this is my all-American monster, he's going to go ahead and handle business and just let Swagger do what he does in the ring, they'd be fine. And that'd be money because it's believable. Hell. But for whatever reason, it's kind of like, if you don't want him to cut promos, cut the list, that's fine. Well, have him talk. Have a manager. Push him. You got him there. You talk about, you know, he's from Oklahoma and everything like that. Like, he had that one push on SmackDown where he was, you know, I always laugh about that promo. I won this trophy when I was 14 for my daddy and everything like that. Like that was just, hilarious. And then ever since then, that was it. And
Well,
then
he did. Well, then, yeah, then his dumbass got busted for weed, and that was pretty much it for the longest time until this Real Americans gimmick started getting over, which was weird. They were supposed to be the evil guys. It starts getting over, and then the Swiss guy who's a real American turns face, and it just all falls apart for Swagger again. It's like, this is just the weirdest thing. But so I don't know. I don't know why they had Cesaro and Swagger go at it on the pre-show, but whatever. I have no faith that Cesaro is going to become anything now. Even if he's been talking, it doesn't matter. I just, it's the
I
most
think
perplexing fall from grace.
it's real simple. Triple H likes him, Vince doesn't. That's all it is. That's why you see this start and stop thing. Like Triple H sees the talent, everything like that. Vince sees, he's kind of, highfalutin. Like he's too prissy to be kind of tough. Like Vince kind of has his ways about how a wrestler's supposed to look. You remember how you looked at Chris? Like Chris looks too creepy. He's got this damn face. I can't push him. So when he feels that way about you, it's hard to change his mind. Everybody knows he's talented, and everybody talks about how he has great matches. So you'll see him get a push, and you saw at the WrestleMania, and he got with Paul Heyman. You thought, oh, this might be something. And then look at him; he's a overqualified jobber.
Yeah, now. Well, maybe it'll change. They've got to start busting for WrestleMania season. They kind of started doing that with the tag match. The match wasn't all that great. But the interaction of the crowd with Mizdow really stood out. And Goldust makeup. I've seen still photos of him and like videos of how he paints his own makeup.
It's amazing.
I can't see how he did that. But yeah, I mean their entrance was really cool, with the way he had like I think it was a flame, whatever it was, painted on his face and all that. I mean that was great. And then Stardust comes out looking like Ronald McDonald, sorta, which was pretty fun too. But so you have the Mizdow interaction, the crowd, wants more of him. I did like how even not just the Miz, but other teams were taunting, like you want to tag him? Yeah, no, and go do something else.
Especially with Cody, no one cares about Miz Dow. He getting the Stardust. Like he basically just shouted at the crowd
Yeah.
for the tag. I was
Yeah.
really happy.
So it's kind of weird how Damian Sandow, I don't know if they'll change his name back. This is obviously going to get lead to a breakup. But Damian Sandow had a pretty good gimmick going for a while. He fights John Cena and falls off the face of the earth. Well, then now he comes back in what seemed to me to be a throwaway, hey, let's get this guy on TV, outside him doing impersonations or whatever it was for a little bit. And then he's done his job as a goofball so well, it's actually turning into something.
It's kind of like because we've seen this gimmick before, like Charlie Haas did it. And it's kind of like you can, it's Charlie Haas, so who cares?
Yes.
But he took it, and a lot of times could have been like, pouting, like, I don't want to do this crap. But like, you know what? I'm gonna go with it. And people were just saying, kind of, Sandow deserves better. He's trying to be LeBron James. He's trying to do this, but he just committed to the role so well. It's kind of, especially this whole Miz stunt double. It's just hilarious. Like he's just, they say live the gimmick. He is living that damn gimmick. To the fact where, the crowd just appreciates it and kind of they know they want better for him and they feel like the best way for that is just get behind it. And he's just grabbing so well. And it's just a perfect contrast with him and Miz, because Miz just played that whole, oblivious douchebag to 100%, which probably fits his him in real life. Because I remember watching him in the real world, so
Well, see, it's funny because Kevin met him in New Orleans, and he said he couldn't have been nicer. See, I mean, he's a guy that enjoys his fame now, I guess, but apparently the wife doesn't. Kevin said that when like Maurice saw them coming, and just immediately turned her back and was like just looking the other way, like just I want nothing to do with these wrestling fans. But Miz was out there like greeting whatever, signing autographs and all that stuff.
Well, it was which fits both their personalities because Miz always talked about him. His dream thing was to be a professional wrestler, and he's living the dream. You know, he can always say, I fulfilled the dream I wanted as a kid, and I did it. So everything else is gravy, and I'm married to Maurice. So why wouldn't I be smiling? Maurice probably said, I don't want to be around this filth. She's probably used to people glaring, you know, glaring at her, looking at like a piece of French meat. Like, get me out of here.
Well, that's what happens when you pose in Playboy, shithead. So, don't look at me. Really? You were just selling yourself to get people to look at
I'm married now. Don't look at me now. I'm trying to get a beignet on a Sunday in New Orleans. Don't look.
you.
You want to look at me by the magazine?
Oh, but back to the Sandow thing. So, I really love the ending sequence. Like, well, all right. Well, actually, before the end. Miz finally relented though and tagged Sandow in, only to have somebody else tag him back out.
Goldust tagged in. Once Miz tagged in Miz Dow was excited about doing a move, and then Goldust Blonde tagged in.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Which I thought that part was really funny because the crowd just got incensed again. And he gets back out. Well, then at the end, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So when I can't remember who was it, one of the Usos did a splash, and then you know Miz does his thing, and as soon as Sandow, oh, I'm sorry, Mizdow now tags in, I was like, here comes a small package for the loss. So when it actually got to three, that was a genuine holy shit moment. Like, wait, that just happened? The crowd's happy, but the real MVP of this is the Miz.
Oh, yeah, because he played that perfect. Like, he kind of, I'm pissed. I can't believe what happened. Then it's like, oh, I'm the tag team champion. I did that. Like, I pinned him. Going from, you know, disbelief to like delusional. Not like Miz Dow pinned him. I pinned him. I got both belts.
So, and I love, yeah, and I love he just, and but Mizdow wasn't even asking for the belts. He was just celebrating, mimicking the Miz the whole time. So I'm kind of hoping, and we're recording this Monday before Raw, I'm kind of hoping that this leads to Mizdow having his own like replica belts, but like the toy versions, like stunt belts basically.
I'm sure it will. So, and like I said, we already know where this is going. This is going to a breakup like WrestleMania. And everybody kind of sees it, and they've been doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with an obvious storyline if the storyline makes sense, and it's been entertaining. And I'm surprised how much I enjoy watching them because Sandow's been like, that gimmick was kind of, I wasn't as fan like other people. Like I knew the talent behind him, but I wasn't really a fan of like other people was. I never was really a fan of the Miz. Like I didn't hate the Miz, but I'm like, whatever. Like, I appreciate the hard work, but so what?
Yeah, well, you know, people at McDonald's work hard, supposedly.
Exactly.
So,
No. So, yeah, like, hard work is fine, but that don't mean I have to watch them on TV.
yeah.
The garbage man works hard taking the trash out. I'm not paying to see him at WrestleMania
Yeah. But no, but that's what I'm hoping is that this does lead to a match at WrestleMania. You know, but the only person that this has that can actually benefit is going to be I'm calling him Sandow because Mizdow's a dumbass name. But the only feud that it's really going to benefit is Sandow, and that's only if he wins. Because so I mean, I can't have the tag titles change hands and then have it just go to nothing. It just all of this seems like a perfect setup for a WrestleMania grudge match if they do it right. And I think so. In that case, I think using the titles as a prop is actually pretty cool. It's like they finally got it right.
That's the point of the titles, is always, you know, the titles are there just to enhance the storyline, enhance the wrestlers. So use it that way.
Okay. So what about the Divas title?
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. I gotta admit, I laughed my ass off so hard at that. I just love it. Because one, it made storyline sense on like two different levels. And people are like, what's the point? I'm like, one, AJ's been a dick to not just Nikki Bella, if they said to Brie Bella for at least a week. And like, even though Brie didn't, you know, the storyline was she's doing this, you know, against her will and she didn't really have a choice. And AJ hasn't cared. Like, she's been a dick to both of them. And everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, AJ's got the point. Like, they're both Bellas. I'm like, no, she don't. But they've been booking AJ like an asshole for a while now anyway. So it fits that. And then they brought it back how, you know, Daniel Bryan lost the belt because he got a kiss from AJ right before Sheamus kicked him at WrestleMania. They brought that up after it happened. So when you see that, it was like, what is Brie doing? Like, Brie just gave her a kiss, and then boom, Nikki laid her out, and you see Brie smile together, and they made an effort on commentary to bring that up. Like, you know, shades of Daniel Bryan and Sheamus at WrestleMania. Maybe she learned something from watching that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at earlier, is that maybe. But now, one criticism I've read of this, and I kind of saw it a different way, that it makes no sense that this heel turn or her helping, I'm sorry, that Brie Bella being happy about Nikki winning at the end didn't make sense. And I'm like, yeah, didn't it kind of seem like this was all a setup?
Yeah.
So
I think it probably, yeah, like I kind of got maybe in the beginning, but once AJ got into it, and especially AJ, like I said before, the way they booked AJ in that, she brought down herself, and that's why I wasn't really that surprised.
Well, there's been rumors about her leaving too. So losing out that quick, okay, losing that quickly, yes, but losing, no. But I just don't get the hate at the end about Nikki or Brie Bella. Like, the whole thing is Nikki Bella winning got totally overshadowed. Like, okay, Nikki Bella is the actual Divas champion. And all people are talking about is the Brie Bella stuff and what's going on with AJ Lee now. I don't know. It's like you can't she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't cheat. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. And
oh, you know what, AJ, it's that people have this irrational love for, like, especially since he married CM Punk. It's kind of like, AJ can do no wrong, and she deserves so much better, and she's like a shooter, and people do not like the Bellas. They didn't like them before they were on, when they were just regular old sixes, and then they came back, and Brie became a seven, and Nikki became a nine. It's just people still thinking like the old Bellas. Like, now it's like they're only getting pushed because they married to Daniel Bryan and John Cena. I'm like, well, so what? It's the females. This is a UFC. I could care less who gets pushed as long as it's entertaining. And I'd rather have them together anyway, because that whole sister versus sister nonsense was garbage.
From the onset, yes.
Yeah. And like, I got they wanted to do one. I know both of them wanted to do a storyline against each other, and it fit the whole thing with Stephanie and stuff, but nobody was asking for that to keep on happening. Get them together, wrap it up, and boom. They're on the same page like they should be, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah, and now you've got your two established heel, like monster heels, if you want to put it that way, for your women. But it just seems like this is a very easy thing to explain. You know what? I'm all this this 30 days of hanging out with my sister, it started off pretty rough, but then you didn't see us behind the scenes. We got closer again, and you know what? I love my sister. She loves me. And yeah. Now we're on top of the world or something like that. Yeah. Very easy.
I mean, this sister, I mean.
This isn't Shakespeare.
Stephanie did it with Triple H, and that was against her damn dad. And that was like, oh, I can understand that. Triple H swept off her feet, blah, blah, blah. The Bellas are damn twin sisters. Is it that hard to believe? You know, oh, we still sisters. We can reconcile, especially AJ beating up both of them, acting like an asshole. It's not that hard to wrap your head around it. But people are like, oh, it don't make any sense. You just poured a smoothie on it 2 weeks ago.
They don't remember 2 hours earlier in the broadcast half the time. And I try to let that go. I'm bad about that sort of stuff too. But so whenever they just don't remember something, it's like whatever. Just as long as they don't remember something and don't bring it up. But if they don't remember like the easiest things, which we're gonna get to the main event now, I mean, which has a lot of that stuff, but just don't. I hate when they use that consider the, when they hate the selective history. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, either don't bring it up at all or stay focused. And with their track record, unless it's super important, don't bring it up.
Now, all right, I said we were going to get to the main event, but what did you think of Wyatt and Ambrose? That's exactly, yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
It was a setup to the next pay-per-view. And you already know how I feel about that whole feud. Like, I don't care. I get the point of it. I'm sick of the Bray Wyatt character. I've never been a fan of that. And then him getting in the, who was I joking with? Somebody. Oh, I was joking because when he picked up the mic after during the match, I'm like, was this Judge Dredd? Why
Yeah, I
you?
really
I'm
hated
your
that too.
family. I can be your brother. We can rule the world. I'm like, what kind of comic book nonsense? I'm like, even for him, what kind of comic book nonsense is this? We can join together and burn the world together. I'm like, Dean Ambrose ain't trying to hear that crap. And I loved when he laid, like, are you going to hit with a chair? Yes, Dean Ambrose is going to, this crazy man is going to hit you with a chair.
And he does it with a shrug too, like, well, yeah, and then does it anyways. I mean, I like the Bray Wyatt character. I like his talking, but yeah, this hasn't been his best run. He went on sabbatical for whatever reason after Chris Jericho, and then he comes back, gets rid of the two Wyatt members, and then he's just blubbering on about Dean Ambrose for no reason. I don't know if that's exactly like his, like the Bray Wyatt, or if it's exactly his input that sucks, but whoever's writing this, it sucks. Just let him wrestle. And Kevin and I kind of covered this, I think, either last week or the week before in one of the Stunk Rennie audios. Well, why not just say, hey, you were the leader of the Shield, I was the leader of the Wyatts, we still have unfinished business.
Because that's too cut and dry for those characters. Like, if for Dean Ambrose, that'd be fine. But that's the problem when you have these booking with these crazy man characters. You can't be sane. You can't have sane. Everything has to be convoluted and fit into their auras and stuff. Like, they got to talk about Dean Ambrose, dead in jail. Since when was that a talking point? You know, like, I know it fits Bray's, modus operandi, but I don't. Okay, so he sent him a letter. What happens in a ring? I don't care about all this other stuff. And they handled that perfectly. Like, he treated like, this guy's a nut. I'm crazy myself. I already know how to handle crazy. He do that stupid stuff. I got something for him. And that's exactly what happened. Because that whole storyline when Bray was doing Cena, like, you know, with the chair, and Cena's G.I. Joe, so I can't do it because I got to rise above hate and evil like a chump. Dean Ambrose has he has no problems crossing that line. Or he crossed the hell out of it. And the tape, I do want to laugh. Somebody dropping an elbow off the top rope off somebody standing. I have never seen that before. And I just laugh. I'm like, yeah, why not? He fights like the Joker, so why not?
The Joker comment is the one that always gets me, that he doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's really, I try to always think of that now when it gets through like that. But when like things come across with Ambrose like that, he's just the guy that doesn't make any sense. So like, okay.
Yeah, she should be here a little bit.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Somebody else that wants it on.
Boy, invasion of life.
Oh yeah. Only a month of it, though. So, I didn't have a very good point to begin with, and now I forget what it even was. So let's just go on to the main event. All right. So I don't. I didn't. One of the things I don't like what they've done with the pay-per-views on the network is they are clearly just setups for other pay-per-views now. They run like a Raw, and I almost kind of like that because if you go out there and you're buying a pay-per-view for 55, 50 bucks, whatever it is, you're an asshole that deserves to get ripped off.
Yeah, I love that type of business. For all the smart people at the network, you're watching this free. If you're still a hillbilly idiot that's spending $55.99, shame on you. You need to get the network.
I'm not giving them my credit card. No way. That's
Hey,
my business and my business only.
that's the new Captain America taught me. Don't get a credit card to the government. So, yeah, I will never stop shaking my head at that point. But that's basically what they're doing. And they built to this match. Like, I like how they added weight to. I like the promo beginning because they added more weight to, like, Vince coming out because Triple H and Steph, like, oh, even if we lose, we still Triple H and Steph, and we'll be okay. We'll just be in the office running things. And Vince, like, no, you're not going to be running squat. And just because you don't get any ideas, John Cena is going to be the one that can bring you back. Which I will admit, it was corny. Like, I don't know why Vince would do something like that. It made me more interested in the match. Like, oh, well, that was different. And then John Cena with that total diva smirk. Like, I love seeing that when he acts like an adult and not like oversexed 8-year-old. And then the little pep talk Triple H gave. Yeah, like, you gotta do this for me. Like, we are not getting fired. We built this. You gotta do it. Like, if we lose, you're gonna wish we fired you. If you got a title, you're not keeping your title. If you don't have a title, you never get a title. Like, lead through fear. Like, do it. Or else.
All right. They really threw this match together.
Yeah. Because those teams, I looked at both of them, like, yeah. If that's on a poster, that's. Yeah.
Okay. So the late additions to me were Harper and Rowan. Just kind of like, all right, we need somebody. Why Randy Orton didn't show up as one of the people? Maybe it was too predictable. Maybe it's because of the Sting reveal. Whatever. The way it started with Triple H just jackjawing all of his team, psyching him up and all that, I really laughed kind of hard when Big Show just knocked out Mark Henry.
You know what? My stream went out. And then it went back on. It's like, oh, Mark Henry just got. I'm like, what? What do you mean he just got eliminated? Like, the match just started. How much did I miss? And then he went back. He got knocked. Everybody was talking about the thrill. Like, he got knocked out. I'm like, wow.
But all right. See, I laughed at the time because I no one expected that. But it gave one of the best moments that I don't know if a lot of people picked up on the apron. Everybody's looking shocked, except for one guy. Big Show knocks him out, pins him, and looks at him like, "Come on, who's next?" Everybody, like Kane, Triple H is incredulous. Like, oh, I can't believe this. Everyone else is in disbelief except for Rusev, who's just—he's got his arms kind of spread open, like, "Yeah, this is the guy I just got done beating 2 weeks ago
Yeah, like,
easily."
I already know what he made
It's
of.
like, wow, what a surprise he lost. So he's like, "All right, let me in, and I'll go beat this big bastard like I did weeks before." So that part cracked me up too, because they didn't really play that up, and maybe he'll get in trouble for that. I don't know. But he really did look like, so what? All right. But as the match went on and Kane lasted longer and longer and longer, I kind of wished it was Kane that was the one that got knocked out.
Yeah. Kane is kind of like, I'm glad you're in shape for your age, but I've been seeing you since I've been a teenager, and I'm old. So I can imagine how old. Like, I've been seeing you for a long ass time. Like, enough of Kane with the dress slacks.
Yes. dress slacks, old man abs.
Yeah. And if this was a Punisher movie, then that's fine. But no, I don't want to see you in a ring anymore with some loafers. Like a banker that got in shape, basically.
Yeah, see, I... Yeah, he's the summer or the weekend warrior guy. Yeah, but I think, especially knowing like Mark Henry behind the scenes signed like a 3-year deal or whatever, mm-hmm. and Kane's openly talked about his time coming to an end. I think it would have been nice to establish Mark Henry as a little bit tougher.
Yeah,
but you know, it's really Kane and Mark Henry are interchangeable, to be honest about it. So, but I like that. I've been praising Luke Harper since he got there. His little spat between him and Rowan for the 5 minutes it went on, they damn well better have those two cross paths again.
Yeah, I gotta talk about this. Because I could not wrap my head around the whole why did Eric Rowan join John Cena's team? Because
he's a team player. No, that was Luke Harper.
I get that. You know, I'm a team player, and you know, I'm gonna do what's best to make you look like. Weren't they, you know, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper buddies? Like, you could, okay, we both, you know, we not on the same team, but we used to be partners. Why you want to fight? Like, what happened?
Well, I think because they were both fixed and sent out there. So now maybe they see a problem. It didn't really make sense.
Yeah, I mean, but if we are both in Alcohol Anonymous in the same class and we both got fixed, I wouldn't call you out to fight at the bar 2 weeks later. So, I mean, I couldn't. I know it fits the story. Like, you know, it was unexpected. They natural antagonists, you look at it one way, but on the other way, it's like they were just friends. Like, they're both fixed. So I guess the fixed me, they were never really friends. They were just being brainwashed. And now I never liked him anyway. And since I got fixed, I can do something about it. But in the ring, it works perfectly because they two big guys that can move. Like, you know, Rowan, he's not on Harper's level, but he's not a slouch either.
I didn't see Luke Harper pulling out a spinning back kick.
No, he's busy doing running drop kicks and planchas.
Yeah,
which is hilarious. Seeing Luke Harper just wrestles like a, you know, a swamp cruiserweight. Like, that's a big man, and he's throwing drop kicks with no and running power bombs and, you know, suicide dive, land on his feet with no problem. Like, he moves like he's 210.
Yeah, it's funny watching old Brody Lee videos. Because he used to be skinnier, and like, I mean, he was still like, he was in good shape. And I'm not saying he's not in good shape now, but he's just bulkier now. Mm-hmm. He looks his size.
Yeah.
Where before he just looked like kind of a tall guy. So when he goes through those that dive on the ropes, and my favorite thing is still he just stands in the ring and he'll put his fingers to his nose and then just push them out. Like, no, shit's getting real right now. Just, no, it's time to get serious. And then you got the blank stare of Rowan just looking at him, and then they just start duking it out. It would have, but I agree with you. There's really no issue between the two. At least there shouldn't have been. So it would have been nice if it was built up for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they could have had that moment.
Yeah, like they didn't build that up, but they built up Ryback for 3 weeks, and then he's, you know, he was in there for like a cup of coffee.
How cool was that, though, for the few minutes him and Rusev were beating on each other? For the minute they were beating on each other. And then the 2 minutes of nothing. But, yeah, that for Eric Rowan comes in with no build-up, and he lasts and has better spots than Ryback does.
Yeah, but that's funny. What I know people don't complain because we might as well get to it. The whole Big Show thing. I'm like, on one hand. No, forget the one hand on the head. It's Big Show. Like, he's been doing this since jump. Anybody that's surprised, you know, him and Lex Luger could probably never be friends the way they turn. I'm like, Big Show has had more turns than probably anybody since Lex Luger. And if it's Big Show, then, like, I made a joke, like, you know, he's still got the mortgage payments to take care of.
Yeah. All right, so here's my thing, though. I passed out during the main event, so I had to go back. I woke up when Sting came out because Michael Cole was yelling. I'm like, huh, what? And then I see Sting in the ring with Triple H, and I'm like, is that Sting in the ring? And immediately fell back asleep. So I watched it. I watched it this morning, so I did see it finally. But the Big Show thing, what I read was, I can't believe he turned heel. I can't believe they did this. That makes no sense. Yeah, actually, it made perfect sense. He looks over at his team. All right, that moment makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he looks at his team and goes, we're going to get killed, and I'm getting fired again?
Yeah.
Because the ironclad contract is a thing of the past that's no longer around.
And they already said, and I love how they put this that stipulation in. They already said, you know, if you lose, everybody in the team getting fired except for John Cena, because we can't afford to fire John Cena. So it's like, I'd be kind of looking side-eyed at John Cena, like, you're going to be fine regardless. Why wouldn't I? I'm going with Triple H.
You know,
it's just me, you, and Ziggler. And Ziggler being beat up, you know, the first 10 minutes, I know you, the champ. No thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. But I read, like, it was this giant heel turn, and he was, you know, that didn't seem like a heel turn to me. That seemed like a self-preservation thing. And even, like, the way the Authority team acted, they had no idea it was coming, because he legit, he knocked out Mark Henry, for Christ's sake. And they could explain that away by they had issues in the past, so whatever. But then he goes over to Triple H, and he just looks down at him, and he goes, be good? Triple H is like, yes, yeah, everything's good. So he's not going to get fired now.
Yeah, like, I won't remember this. Yeah, I'll appreciate it.
Yeah, there wasn't any, oh, I'm going to beat up everybody and yelling at the crowd and flipping people off. None of that stuff. So that's why I love internet reactions, especially when you haven't seen something. They will immediately, if they say it's the greatest thing on earth or if it's the worst thing on earth, it's going to be just in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll easily be a way to easily rationalize it.
I think what was more shocking, and somebody talked about it, I was on a different show, they were saying this would be a perfect time to elevate Dolph Ziggler if you're going to have him, basically have him play, this is how exactly played out. And my thing was, yeah, but I don't see them, for you to do that, you have to have John Cena eliminated. And they kind of like, I can see John Cena agreeing to that. But WWE kind of like shaky when it comes to John. Like, they don't like putting him in a vulnerable spot. So you have to explain for a reason that Cena get eliminated. That was perfect because it was unexpected. You know, there's no shame getting knocked out by the Big Show like this. He's knocked out everybody. And Cena's already was wrestled. He was already tired. And it was like, okay, so how will this match end? And you knew Sting, I was like, is Sting going to not, since everybody knew Sting was coming, are they going to call Audible, have Randy Orton run in? Because people were expecting Sting isn't going to be, you know, he eliminates two and Rollins gets a cheap win. Like, how's it going to happen? And they, I'll say this, I haven't always been the biggest Dolph Ziggler fan, but he worked his ass off. Like, he, that last part of the match, because it was believable how he pinned Harper and pinned Kane. Like, he didn't die, like, he snuck a win, but it seemed believable. Like, and he worked his ass off.
He always does, though, and I think that's where everyone's frustration came.
But it's been my problem's always been he's always gone his own speed, and he's never like, people always tell him, you know, you got the time, like, slow down. Everything doesn't have to be the best bump of all time. Like, now, I got a perfect example. The spot he used to do, when he used to do the, you know, the 10 punch in the corner. Everyone else does it, they do it to count 1, 2, 3, 4, so the crowd get behind it. He'll go in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, you know, like, he'll start with the count and then go his own speed and rush the next move. It's like, the crowd want to follow with you. You know, it's like, you dancing to your own beat. It's like, you dancing with headphones in the club, like, you listen to one song in the club and everybody else listen to something else. You might be dancing well, but you're not fitting what everyone else expecting you to do. So it's kind of like, we want to follow behind you, but we can't.
Yeah. Well, his aborted pushes, too, didn't help. Injuries, whatever else, kind of pushed him to the back burner anyways. But yeah, I no one saw this match playing out this way, where it came down to Dolph Ziggler trying to overcome all odds in the end. Like, huh? And he pins hard. I still don't like the schoolboy move. I can't stand that. I don't care unless, you know. But they did say, and I noticed it too, he did pull the tights, but the announcers are oblivious and didn't say anything. Unless they bring that up.
Oh, no, JBL said something. Because I'll give this.
Oh, did Cole, he? Okay.
Because Colin, like, Lawler wasn't really, he was, I don't know what was up with him. Cole and JBL were kind of like, they were getting heat. Like, Cole, whole thing, he was, I never heard him care about a match in a long time. Like, people already talked about the announcers. And it's already, it's been bad for a while. And Cole, he's been good sometimes. I liked him when he first came. He had his run with Taz. He had a little time when him and JBL were first together, and they were fine. And, like, you know, ever since he was healed for a while and came back, it's kind of like he just been bland. I will give credit where credit's due that match. Like, Cole was into that match, and he was selling, like, how, you know, how much fire Dolph had and what he's fighting for, and you got to do what you got to do. And JBL was like, you condoning cheating and everything, like, I don't know if Lawler was just sleep or he didn't care. He's busy cracking old jokes. But, yeah, they talked about it, and they added to the match. Usually they subtract from the match. And I just remember it standing out more than normal because usually it's kind of like, what are you talking about? Like, shut up, Michael Cole. Shut up, Michael. Like JB always say, like, you're talking nonsense. So they brought it up, and it added to the match, and you knew it was coming. Like, you're waiting for them to run in. You see the authorities start to run in. He's fighting them all. You see Triple H coming, like, okay, enough of this shenanigans. I'm going to handle it. And then all of a sudden, Sting.
Okay, so like I said, I woke up to see Sting in the ring. I realized something important was going on. And then all of a sudden, when I was watching it today, I'm like, I've never been a big Sting fan. I didn't get it. I kind of did when he did the Crow thing. His TNA run, oof. But I do appreciate what a cool moment this is. So when he came out, like this morning, even knowing he was coming out, when the video package started, now first, I've seen complaints. Well, the referee stopped counting. Yes, that's how it works in wrestling. He heard music. He's like, well, there's not supposed to be music playing. What's going on? That's all it takes.
Yeah.
So when the video package started and then it was just his face at the end and they pulled back on the shot and all of a sudden, Sting walks out, and they kind of mess up the spotlight, but whatever. You did kind of get the history at that moment for, like, the longtime fans.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, like I said, but now it's all downhill. There's nowhere to go for it. There's not going to be anything good coming of it.
I'll worry about that later because Sting, I have always loved Sting. That's the first VHS tape I ever bought about a wrestler with like this 30-minute Deadly Venom best of Sting. They sold. I watched it till it popped up. Sting is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I don't care about the whole he wasn't as good as Flair. He couldn't really cut promos or block. I didn't give a rat's ass about any of that. I was a Sting fan from Jump Street. People kind of forget how great an athlete he was before his injury, even up until Crow Sting. Like, I had a conversation with Kevin about, like, Sting was Dolph Ziggler plus 50 pounds. The best way to describe, like, Sting was an athlete. Like,
yeah.
World, like, athlete. Like, I watched those old matches with Moon. I'm like, how is he? He's that big, moving like he's, you know, Shawn Michaels. And he's like, oh, like a better Ultimate Warrior. So I always had a soft spot for Sting. I knew it was coming. I saw him just saucer down the ring. You know, he didn't have the black. It was like, you know, brownish hair, light color. He just
yeah.
Yeah. I saw it. And then I'm just thinking about, they were just in the ring for like 3 minutes and nobody said anything. And I'm just saying, who would have ever guessed that in this time frame, you would see Triple H standing across the ring from Sting in a WWE crowd and everybody's losing their minds? Like, how surreal is that?
Yeah, no. That's why I said I appreciated the history and all that, but I've been a, I don't know. I liked Sting matches when he was fighting Vader. He had a few against Stan Hansen, I remember. I'm trying to think, there were some others, but it's okay. It's still, I get the history, and I got a little chills too. Cause I was like, wow, this is, it's cool to see. And then I started, then I just, the way my brain works, I was like, why is his hair so short?
Because he's old.
Why is his hair brown? And then I realized, oh yeah, you don't want dark hair if you're covering up your bald spot.
Yeah, I'm like, Sting is in his, he's 55,
Yeah,
56.
he's not a young guy at all,
Yeah.
so.
I mean, face paint can hide a lot of things, but it won't hide your hairline.
Okay, I'm yes, actually yes it can if you put the paint all the way up to your hairline.
Was
Now,
not gonna hide the top of your hair.
but yeah, so
And I love how Triple H is played. Like, at first he's kind of shocked, like, he's just standing there looking, he's going to move, and then like Sting's just strolling behind, like Dolph, like, he walking slowly, and he played it all perfectly. Like, he was standing between him and Ziggler, but he did away, so you kind of go, like, he didn't do it clumsily, but you noticed it if you pay attention to it. And then after a while, Triple H's like, wait, why am I? I'm Triple H. Like, I know you Sting, like, but I'm Triple H. What are you gonna do? What you gonna do? Start talking that trash?
yeah.
Sting's just sitting there,
With your non-drawn
looking
hat and
like,
ass, yeah.
yeah. And
Oh,
then
that's
Sting
funny.
comes in, does his move, lays him out, then puts Ziggler's arm over it, walks out. One,
Game
two,
over.
three. Game over.
Okay.
Perfect.
The match ends, yes. But then, my favorite part of the show, Stephanie McMahon losing her shit.
Oh my God.
That I actually felt bad. Like, these are the bad guys. I'm not supposed to feel bad for her. But she's like, what happened? We lost? Like, just
Yeah,
totally
'cause she was
shocked.
out there. She didn't see any of it.
Mm-mm. She lost, and Triple H is just like dumbfounded. And then she loses her mind, and I'm like, this is fantastic. And they cut away from it when she's holding onto the ropes. Like, what are you doing? You're on the network. You don't have to follow
But these
pay-per-view
people still
rules.
buy pay-per-views. It's not all on the network.
You know
That's
what? The 300,000 people that bought, or I'm sorry, the 30,000 people that bought Survivor Series can go screw. Too bad.
Look,
You know.
Time Warner is not going to get the, they getting their percentage. You're not cutting into that replay money.
Ugh.
And we had, because keep in mind, remember, pay-per-view used to end at like, 15 minutes
Yeah,
left
true.
or 11. Now it's like 30 seconds left. And I just loved it because she had, like I said, she had to look like, what happened? And she was kind of trying to, like, I don't know. And it's just sick. And the crowd just, God bless that crowd, because they were chanting, according to the Na 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 song, but first they chant, like, you got fired.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing. And she lost her mind. Like, I'm Stephanie McMahon. This can't happen to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, she is her father's daughter.
So, well, here's the other thing I was thinking. As much as I was enjoying it, and I actually did legit feel bad for her, I started to feel bad for Triple H.
I know exactly where you're going.
Because if she's acting this way, and she's got it in her, I couldn't imagine a real fight with her.
Oh, I made that joke. I'm like, I'm sure Triple
Oh.
H has never forgot to take out the trash at night if she acting this way on TV. Because, yeah. I would not. Like I say, Triple H is a big dude and he's a rich guy. I would not want to have that woman mad at me.
No, not something like that. I mean, I've seen Elise's gotten mad. Like, we've had our drag outs like that before. I've never experienced something like seeing Stephanie McMahon do that last night.
I
And
have occasionally. That's why I feel bad for Triple H. It's kind of like, you're gonna lose. Not just. I was thinking the same thing. Like, imagine you didn't do. No, and just her losing. I'm gonna make you tell the McMahon no, and just
yeah.
losing her like, shit. And it was just so entertaining. And like Triple H just kind of Like, what are we gonna do? And then,
Joint.
of course, Cena came out the end, and people, I laugh when people made such a big deal about that. Like, Cena's coming to steal the spotlight like Hulk Hogan. I'm like, no, his team won. He's happy his team won. And out of that whole team, they built the friendship between those two. Like, it's kind of like Ryback was kind of, a maybe, but it's kind of like a, I'm not sure about this guy, but I kind of need him. Eric Rowan was a wild card. They didn't make him, like, where did he come from? I'm surprised that Big Show's Big Show. Like, I'm glad he's on my team. I still know he's Big Show. They built that whole, because Dolph was the first one to say, I'll be on your team. Dolph kept getting beat up week after week, but he was still coming out supporting Cena. So they built on that, camaraderie between the two of them. So it made sense for John Cena to come out.
Yeah, you know what? You've actually kind of swayed me on that, because I didn't care. I was like, all right, there's Cena, and I'm like, where's the rest of the team outside of Big Show, mind you? But all right, so no, actually, that's a much better explanation, and it would have been. I don't know. I don't think the announcers could have explained that, but that makes sense though. All right, so this is what keeping an open mind is. But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the Sting appearance, we did kind of gloss over the Roman Reigns live via satellite horseshit again.
I like that more than most people. I'm like, people just, some of them been bad. This one was fine.
No, this one was not
No,
fine.
this one
What
was
was he
fine.
gonna do? He was gonna ball up a fist up in this bitch or something?
Roman
Oh
Reigns did not
no.
see. It's funny because Roman Reigns is almost getting a point how Batista's looked at, kind of like, he used to be cool, and now, the young kids think he cool, so I don't like him anymore.
No, dude, that was douche chill. I don't care who would have said that.
He's
That's
always been,
bad.
but the whole thing is like that. Why are people, why is a pain ass now? It's because he's a baby face. He was acting like an asshole when he was a heel. Where I was like, oh, he edgy, and look at everything. That's so cool.
If he would
Now
have said that as a heel, he would have gotten the exact same reaction.
he used to say stuff like that, but you know what the difference was? His voice was a little lower as a heel. He used to be like very white, and now he got a little more emotion and inflection, and like he got a little smile on his face. So now it's kind of like, oh, look at this fake tough guy. Blah. Like, Roman Reigns has problems, but I think a lot of people just like, I think hating on Roman Reigns is kind of the internet cool. I'm not saying you're doing it because you're a grown ass man, but I think a lot of people kind of like hating on Roman Reigns because it's the end thing to do. It's like, this guy right here, they're going to push him down the throat and push Dean Ambrose by the wayside, and he's got his three moves and his stupid punch, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, okay.
I don't know, I don't mind any of that.
Yeah.
I just think it's been a rough. It's probably also too many cooks sort of thing. Just let the guy be what he is, and take off from there. This whole thing with him, just whatever it was, fisting the bitch or something. I don't know. Just awful.
I don't think he they allow, I know it's a pay-per-view. I don't think they allow him saying something like that.
Yeah, it was just. It doesn't seem natural for him. And you're right, when he was the heel on the Shield, he was the understated, and that can carry. But it's the classic thing WWE does. What made you cool and got you people invested in you as a heel? Well, we're going to get rid of that. So when you're a face, you got to smile and act all jovial. It's like, no, that's not what got me popular.
They did the same thing to Dean Ambrose,
And
and
they
I
did the
remember
same thing with Randy Orton.
that.
Who the hell else was there? There was somebody else too.
Most people, like Ryback, like the only people,
Ryback's a good one, yes.
it's kind of like, we're gonna take the stuff that's cool, and instead of leaving it alone, we're gonna over-exaggerate that to, like, Dean Ambrose doesn't need to come out with a dirty hoodie, say lunatic fringe.
No.
And I knew that was gonna have like old vintage Dean with his crazy thing and all that stuff. And I give him credit. He did his best to work past that. Cause they didn't do him any favors, like they didn't do Roman Reigns any favors. And I'm like, unless you Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, they always get you. If it's something they find, what makes you think, or Brock Lesnar. Those are the only ones I can. Because even like, you think about like, even Kurt Angle had to deal with that stuff. And Eddie Guerrero had to deal with that. And Jericho, all of them. And they were good enough to kind of get past that for a while. And some of them did. Some of them, like, you know, Booker T and Rob Van Dam, kind of like they weren't as good as they were because they got pushed. Like, they find that one good thing and they just push it to expense of everything else. And it's like you went from being a complete character to like a catchphrase. Or, you know, Roman Reigns is a cool dude, so you're going to be 155,000% cool. I'm like, you push it that far, it's not cool anymore. It's forced. Like, Dean Ambrose is the crazy guy, so you're going to be completely crazy, but crazy where the kids can get behind it. Like, oh, ha ha, lunatic fringe. He throwing a soda on people. He's putting slime bombs in a briefcase. Isn't that cool and crazy? I'm like, no. You want to see Ryan Pillman do something like that. Or, I always use this thing because we kind of go along when it comes to like baby face behavior. What would Stone Cold Steve Austin do this? And it's a broad thing. I always think about when people do skits or do behavior. Like, could I see Stone Cold Steve Austin doing this and you'd be cool with it? Because he was paranoid. He was legendary for being paranoid about, you're not going to have me doing stupid shit and make me look like a fool. Mm-hmm. So, and with good reason. And like the best ones are all like that, protect your character at all costs.
Yeah, and they kind of did that with Goldberg. Mm-hmm. By letting, who was it, Goldust put a wig on him and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a pretty good example of what not to do. But, I don't know, overall the show I thought was pretty boring until the last match. I mean, the last match had some good stuff. Rusev flying through the air was a giant shock as well.
Yeah. Wow. Ouch.
That guy's been saddled with a bad gimmick. And they've got to figure, they'll figure out somehow to get him out of it. And then I really think he can take off. He looks legit powerful, and then he's got that agility. Oh, boy.
But, yeah, how? Because it's kind of like, unless – the only way I can see why, like, if he went away for a while and he just came back, you know, all of a sudden I'm this Rus, you know, I'm just this guy. I'm not representing Russia. I'm not the Bulgarian powerhouse. I'm just Rusev, and I'm here to kick ass. Because right now it's just so ingrained with him and Lana – where it's kind of like, you don't want him pulling a Kofi case, like one day show up and I'm not Jamaican anymore. Yeah. Like, I just lost my accent just because. I still think about that with Kofi case, that, you know, he's been talking regular for a lot longer than he did.
Yeah, and now he's just yelling into a mic, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which on one of our podcasts, we're going to have to get into explaining what exactly cooning it up is. Because I've seen it used, and I'm like, okay, I've got the. Wait a minute, that's cooning it up? Okay, I'm lost.
You know how some things are meant to be in the house, but like I say, we're here to help the people, so I want to educate. I knew we were going to talk about this, and then we'll definitely talk about it on a later show.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get to my level.
Oh, no, that's fine. Like I said, we'll save it. It's a tease.
Yeah. Coming up soon.
Yeah. But on that note, let's get out of here because Ross started and I see that there's already a huge reveal.
Okay.
Yeah. So I paused it so I can see what actually happens. So thanks for listening. Next week we'll be back with some comics talk because Wonder Woman has a director. The Walking Dead will have their mid-season finale. Even though Kevin and I talk about it. We still watch it, so.
X-Men has casted
Apocalypse. Yes. And then we can get back into our comic book movie breakdown that should go on for another 37 parts. So it would be great. So, follow us. Like I said, every week we say this. So you can find us at Stunt Granny on all social media. And if you want to subscribe to the podcasts, all of them, just look for Stunt Granny. And they all download as Stunt Granny Podcast, so you're good there. I'm Granny Maze on Twitter. You're Farm MD, right? That's the Farm MD.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's Twitter. And especially about 8:30 or 8:40 tonight, I'd stay off Twitter for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to get out of here. Let Shahid take us out and have a happy holiday weekend, everybody.
Yeah, for Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Make sure you never coon it up under any circumstances, and we are out.